Inside the Ark are treasures beyond your wildest aspirations. You want to see it open as well as I.
Change has come to America.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Welcome to Friday, June the 26th of 2009. Oh, boy, what a week.
It has been a week of ups and downs and icons who have shuffled off this mortal coil. It has been...
Revelations that turned out not to be revelations.
Not to be, yes. And... Well, just an awful lot of things to pack into the next 15 minutes, which will probably last 28 minutes real time. But again, that's that secret formula.
We can't tell you what that formula is. We've got it all written down. Somewhere.
It's as much a constant as the speed of light, which, as we know now, thanks to experiments from MIT, is not a constant. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So while we say the show's last 15 minutes,
it depends on how many donuts you get.
Exactly. It's complicated. We could tell you, but the rest. So. Well, where do we want to start this whirlwind tour?
Well, I want to tell you where I want to start, and that is that I spent the whole day checking the oddandchronos.com site over in Italy, looking for any new articles on the so-called unveiling of the Ark of the Covenant, and nothing new. The most recent article, I think, was from the 19th, and they've just not posted anything new all day. I also looked on all of the news sites to see if anybody had anything other than repeating the story that all went back to oddandchronos over and over and over again. It's working its way through the internet, but there's nothing new.
Nothing new. Somehow somebody got at oddandchronos, or somebody extrapolated from the original report in Italian that there was supposed to be a press conference today at a hotel in Rome, where the patriarch of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, Abuna Paulos, was supposed to make his announcement about the location and the unveiling of the Ark. Reporters who contacted the hotel said, well, yes, he's staying here, but we have nothing scheduled as far as a press conference. Apparently, and WorldNet Daily is now reporting this as of about 2 hours ago, which is about 5 o'clock Eastern time, and Eastern time, of course, GMT minus 5, so... You do the math. The WorldNet Daily report says now that they're saying that Abuna Paulos backtracked.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened is that somebody didn't quite interpret the original article in oddandchronos quite exactly from the Italian, that something was lost in the translation, and that perhaps words were attributed, or meaning was attributed to Abuna Paulos.
Well,
that
even
he didn't
if the translation
say.
Was perfect, I mean, depending on what he said, because I don't know that he was speaking in Italian.
That's true. It might have been, It might have been speaking Coptic.
Ethiopian?
Whatever.
I don't know what the language would be, but it's very possible
Latin?
He was not speaking in Italian.
Sure.
Or he was speaking in Italian not being his first language, and somewhere along the line, the translation failed.
And don't forget, there was that second article that appeared the following day in oddandchronos, which is the Italian newspaper.
Yeah, and
which
we don't
said,
know if it's oddandchronos or ADNchronos. So
right,
if we're
forgive
mispronouncing
us.
It, please forgive us.
The second article, the follow-up to the original piece that spawned this whole internet meme, quoted Abuna Paulos as saying that I did not say that the Ark would be revealed, that he basically had been talking about... the possibility of building a museum in Addis Ababa someday that might one day host the Ark of the Covenant, that the Ark was a mystery, it was an object of worship, and apparently this whole thing just got blown out of proportion.
Well, it could be there was a mistranslation, because I don't know if he was speaking in Italian or whatever, but that aside, I think it is clear from what he said that he said it is the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not he meant to talk about this, to say, I've seen it, which he did say.
Yes.
He said, I've seen it. It's in good condition. There is an article today, and this is sort of an adjunct to this. There was an article, not necessarily today, sorry, it was at Israel National News, and I quote from it in the article that I wrote for PID News today. The article is by Hillel Findel from IsraelNationalNews.com, IsraelNN.com. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church leader says Friday, June 26, marks the right time to unveil the biblical Ark of the Covenant, which he says has been hidden in his church for centuries. Now, the article then goes on to say, Abuna Paulos, they cross it out and put in Abba Gebremedin, also known as Abba Diabilos.
Father Devil.
I'm thinking it means Father Devil, the illegitimate patriarch of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, was in Rome this week to meet with Pope Benedict XVI. While there, this article goes on to say, he told reporters that the time had come to reveal before the world the Holy Ark. He said that the holy container has been in his custody, in the custody of his church, for hundreds of years. Now, why, I'm wondering, would this person from Israel National News referred to Paulus as Diabolos?
Well, I can only guess. And if I had to guess, I'd say that it was because the Ark of the Covenant is a very object of veneration, or something to be treated with the utmost reverence. I mean, let's face it, in the Old Testament, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't only certain members of
why call him the illegitimate patriarch of the Orthodox Church?
That's a good question. That I don't know.
Why would the Israeli world, or the Hebrew world, or the Jewish world, however you want to refer to it, really, why would they care who is calling himself or herself what within the Christian church?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know.
Well, let me add one more thing to the mix here. The story goes that alongside Patriarch Apollos.
Apollos,
sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. Oops. That was a little slip. Was supposed to be the grandson of Haile Selassie.
Emperor, former emperor. He was emperor while he was alive.
Exactly, who claimed he is the descendant of King Solomon and Queen of Sheba. Now, that may be why this gentleman is referred to as an illegitimate patriarch, because he is associating with
Haile Selassie's line.
I don't know.
Now, Selassie, and this is kind of a bizarre little bit of, you know, and I have no idea how this started, but the Rastafarian movement in Jamaica worshipped Haile Selassie as the Messiah.
Yes, exactly.
Where did that come from? Ethiopia?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. But I think it's really interesting that his name was mentioned at all
in connection with
this event.
Yeah. Why would Selassie's grandson have anything to do with this?
Well, if he claims he's descended from King Solomon.
Okay.
See, that's the whole point, is that Solomon's child with Sheba was supposed to have taken the ark to Ethiopia.
Right.
Which is why it's supposed to be there.
Right. And Solomon, of course, was the king who hired Hiram Abiff, the builder of the first temple and the founder of Freemasonry, according to their legend.
Mind you, I have seen articles on the internet, and I have to consider it. I don't know if I believe it, but I have to consider it that when Philip was told to go to witness to the Ethiopian, that he was told to do so because this Ethiopian was returning from Jerusalem, having gone there to worship. And there are some who say maybe he went there to deliver the ark to its rightful owner.
So he was this eunuch was part of a royal entourage.
He was part of a royal entourage. He had what seemed to be confused because he didn't understand why events had taken the turn they had. In other words, he had left shortly after Jesus had died and was resurrected.
And missed the whole point of the resurrection.
And missed the whole point. And Philip explained it to him. What is it, Isaiah 53 that he took him to and explained it to him? But the Ethiopian was saved was baptized right there. And I assume returned to his home, and that began the Christian church there in Ethiopia. And here we are today with someone claiming that they've got I mean, we've seen on National Geographic and places like that for years that supposedly the Ethiopian church has it, but they will never show it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they say, we've got copies of it in all the churches, so don't think that you can go and grab one because we're not going to tell you which one it's in.
Right. It's being – they take the responsibility very seriously. Yeah, that's an interesting – that's an interesting thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
That Philip and was – because he was transported by God immediately after leading the Ethiopian
exactly.
eunuch to Christ,
suddenly
wasn't
he? Suddenly just disappeared.
And
found himself somewhere else.
And why would God do that? It wasn't the kind of thing that happened all the time.
No, it was an amazing intervention. Therefore, that Ethiopian had to be saved for a specific reason.
Hmm. That's very interesting. I got to do some more reading now on Acts chapter 8.
Got more.
Okay.
Gosh, what is it? Is it Isaiah 18? Where they talk about the land of whirring winds.
Well, oh gosh.
Whirring wings.
I've got about 15 tabs open here now.
I know, I do too. We'll try to find it and put the link to you, but there's a scripture that talks about the land of whirring wings, and within the context of it, it could be referring to Ethiopia. And then there's a connection to a land with tall, smooth-skinned people.
Yeah.
Living in a land where that is divided by rivers.
Isaiah 18, 1 and 2. Woe to the land of whirring wings along the rivers of Cush, which, well, let's see, was it along or beyond? Which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Let me go to the King James. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go, ye swift messengers, to a nation scattered and peeled, which is translated in more modern translations as meaning a tall, smooth-skinned people, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, people feared around the world.
Throughout the world.
Yeah. A nation meted out and trodden down, feared far and wide for their conquests and destruction, whose land the rivers have spoiled, or whose land is divided by rivers. Well, the Mississippi.
Well, you know, the
people tall,
that really
mostly,
mostly clean-shaven. Honestly, at this point, we have tried to conquer the entire world. It does sound like it could be referring to the United States.
Yeah.
Whether or not it is, I don't know. I can't say that that's for sure. But it's interesting that it begins with the Whirring Wings episode reference because just yesterday at PID News, I posted an article about locust invasion that mm-hmm. is this locust It's the worst it's been in, what did I say, 22 years or
something like that.
That.
Yeah, it was decades.
Yeah, the last time one occurred was about 22 years ago. They are just being inundated right now with locusts.
Land of whirring wings that is beyond the rivers of Cush, Cush being the ancient name for Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Cush, of course, was the father of Nimrod.
Yes.
Which, well, long story, that would be a long rabbit trail, but it ties to Nimrod anyway.
Sam says he can take it.
Yeah, well, we'll...
Any rabbit trail he can take.
Yeah, badger trail. Now, there's a challenge.
I know.
But yeah, Isaiah 18 is very definitely worth reading. The first time I read this and really got the sense of what it was saying, to a nation mighty and conquering whose land the rivers divide. Well, I mean, at the time this was written, back in the time of Isaiah... Who might that have referred to? Tall and smooth-skinned. You know, back in the 7th, 8th century B.C., you didn't find too many Middle Eastern men who were smooth-skinned. They were usually bearded. I mean, mm-hmm. look at those ancient carvings on the ruins of Assyria. You know, that was not clean-shaven was not necessary.
Some of my ancestors were living here at that time, and they were smooth-skinned.
That's right.
In
Native
fact,
Americans.
My dad couldn't grow a beard for anything.
Really? Huh.
No. Wasn't very good at it.
Well, that's so again, some more interesting stuff to add to this, you know, this puzzle as we try to peer into the darkness or, you know, through a glass darkly, if you prefer. We don't see clearly, but there's a lot of interesting signposts along the way here as we get closer to closer to the end, closer to his return.
Hadn't planned on spending that much time.
No,
with
we hadn't, but it was
good. Well, good night, everybody.
We got a couple of other things we do need to talk about. It's as we record this now, it's about 7:40 Eastern time. which is, again, GMT minus 5. So it's a little after midnight Eastern time. And the House of Representatives in the United States Congress has passed the climate.
A little after midnight Eastern time?
Greenwich Mean Time, London mm-hmm. time, yeah. And the House of Representatives here in the United States has just passed, within the last 20 minutes, the climate change bill, the Waxman.
Yes, the cap and trade.
Yes, the Waxman-Markey bill. Yeah. Cap and trade, which
I had told you right before we came on that
they were getting ready to vote. Right. Yeah. Now, why did they do this late on a Friday night? Well, because it's Friday night, and because people who are throughout the week home to watch the evening news are more likely to be out and about, and they're basically getting it done under the cover of darkness. Yes, Mrs. Gilbert, your hand is raised.
Well, that bill is 1,201 pages long.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, it was not made public for the public to read it for 5 days before it was voted on, which
you mean,
is what Obama promised.
He promised that all these bills would be out there for five – well, before he signs them. No, he said that he would put them out there before he signs them for 5 days. Now, he's not been doing that either. He's been signing things without that public reading
I know,
period.
But I think that there's actual – we'll look for it. But I think he actually said before he was elected that he would – or right after he was elected that – they would be up there for 5 days before they were voted on.
Well, I'll double check that. I'm pretty sure
we'll
he said
check
before.
On that.
He,
but anyway,
but either way, he's not been keeping the promise because he's been signing them without that 5 day reading period.
But the thing is, this is all going, as you say, under cover of a big cycle of news that has nothing to do with Washington.
Well, of course, Michael Jackson is dominating the news cycle. But even if he were not in the news, the fact that they're doing it at 7 p.m. Eastern time on a Friday night, which means most people aren't even going to realize that this has taken place until Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, it's Friday night. Most people, even if they've got kids, are probably into mm-hmm. doing something with the family. Either you unwind from the cares of the week. You generally, unless you're geeks like us, don't sit in front of the news channels and absorb what's been going on.
Now, Mr. Gilbert?
Yes, Mr.
Why
Gilbert?
Why should I even care if they passed cap and trade?
Well, because this is going to amount to a huge...
It's got a cute name.
It does. It does. Be the name of an interesting shop at the mall, I would think. Captain. Anyway, mind wandering. The bill is going to basically amount to a huge tax on energy because under this plan, and I've not seen the details, and in fact, from what I've read on this so far, which is very little, most of the members of Congress haven't even read the details of this bill.
It's the stimulus bill.
It's the stimulus bill all over again. Here, trust us. Just vote on this. Just pass it and leave the details to us. But essentially, cap and trade, the concept works this way. Companies that have to burn fossil fuels and generate carbon, essentially anything that generates carbon and puts carbon into the air.
Cows, farmers
us. Who have to, us who we drive back and forth to work, will essentially have to pay for the privilege of putting carbon into the air. And there will be a cap established on how much we can emit. Theoretical cap. It's not an actual cap because this bill doesn't actually limit the amount of carbon emissions into the atmosphere. What it does is tax those who put it there.
Exactly.
So now your power company, if you're in the United States, is more likely is likely to be a coal-fired power plant. We got a few nuke plants here and there, a few hydroelectric plants here and there, but more of our energy comes from coal than from any other source. Your power plant, your power company is going to pay for the right to put particulates up into the air. Now, do we think they should be allowed to, just belch unregulated, particulates and poisons into the air? No, absolutely not. The problem is that this is simply a big math game. This is so, pardon me for venting here, so typical of just fuzzy progressive thought. We'll put a cap on this, but then if they need to emit more carbon, they can buy the right to emit more carbon by buying it from someone else. So it's an artificial limit. All this does is create some artificial market for buying and selling of this thing called the carbon credit.
And let's just take it down to the personal level. What it means is you're going to pay more for your electricity.
Yes, yeah. And so some have said that this is going to amount to essentially a $2 trillion tax on the American economy.
Exactly. I mean, it could be a big jump in your bill.
Now, the fact is we probably need $2 trillion just to plug the hole in next year's budget. But frankly, I'm not crazy about the idea of paying it just to heat my house.
Well, that's what really annoys me, is it's not really trying to help greenhouse gases or anything like
no,
that.
No, it's just a way to make money
taxing
off of it.
More, exactly.
Right. More taxes on it, bill. Less control. And as an just to give you an idea of how contentious this bill was, 44 Democrats turned on their party and voted against it. So the vote was 219 to 212. It was fairly close. Fairly close. However, 8 Republicans switched sides. And if those 8 Republicans hadn't switched sides, the bill would have been defeated. So
now, it does still have to go to the Senate.
The Senate, right. And again, before conservatives get too up in arms about you know, this lousy Democratic trick, just remember that John McCain was in favor of cap and trade, too. We were going to get cap and trade from the White House one way or the other this time out. So this is a bill that should please radical environmentalists and not too many other people, especially once we see the ramifications. We'll do more talking about this next week,
because
we actually have a chance to, yes, as we have a chance to read the bill. And if that wasn't enough government control in your life, let me talk about this for just a second. Barack Obama was at a town hall event Wednesday night. This was at the little love fest that he had with ABC News, where the ABC basically turned over their programming for the night. And he suggested that one way of controlling cost and keeping down the cost of medical care in the United States is to perhaps restrict access to medical care for those who are probably going to die soon anyway. Now, maybe he didn't mean it like that, but look at what's happening in the UK already, where they're trying to balance their budget for their national health system. And measures like restricting access to medical care to the elderly, to smokers, to the obese, to drinkers, has already been proposed. And when you think about it, from the perspective of the government now, when they are operating this system, the easiest variable to control is how much access to health care you get. They can control costs by cutting back on the amount of service they provide to you, the sick person.
Well, by the way, if you hear grunting in the background, it's Sam.
Yeah,
he's making a little
cleaning his nails.
Sound.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this earlier today, and one of the things that you mentioned was this idea that if you're an elderly person,
right,
or perhaps not even elderly, if you're someone that is considered maybe not as valuable to society, if you need surgery, maybe it'll be approved, maybe not. We don't know.
Right.
That's a possibility within the system. But I'll tell you what, if you are, say, in need of, a surgery that is going to relieve pain. Say you've got a knee replacement that needs to be done. Well, they could either medicate you and shovel a lot of money toward the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
Or they could pay a surgeon who probably doesn't have a very good lobby. Mm-hmm. You know, mind you, the AMA has a lobby, but not nearly as good as the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
That surgeon could have a one-time fee, or, hey, we could make our friends, the lobbyists, really, really happy.
By putting you on drugs for life, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And bear this in mind, too. There have been suggestions that all children should be DNA sampled at birth to create a DNA database, not just for the United States, but for the United Nations. Think about what information might be gleaned, not only from National DNA Database, but just think about, you know, the federal government under Barack Obama wanting to create a national health database with all of our records online. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Gilbert, we'd like to treat you for this particular arthritis condition you've got, but we show you've got a family history of heart disease. You're probably not going to live more than 5 years anyway, so we're going to deny your application for this new arthritis treatment because it wouldn't be worth the money to the American taxpayer. You're going to have government bureaucrats making decisions on the value of a person's life for the making, you know, basically cost-benefit analyses.
Well, actually, right now, insurance companies make those decisions.
They do.
But
they don't have the power of government behind them.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And don't think for 1 minute this healthcare is going to be free.
No, not absolutely.
In fact,
not.
There is even talk about taxing the benefits.
I love that, don't you?
Thank you.
Here's a government check, and oh, by the way, we took income tax out of the check that we gave you with the money that we collected from income taxes.
That heart transplant you received, Mr. Gilbert, we're going to have to take part back. you're behind on those taxes. I'm really sorry.
We've had to come back to take back the heart, yeah. Oh, boy. Well, you know, just getting back to matters theological here, You remember Todd Bentley, who was all in the news about a year ago?
Oh, yes.
Canadian faith healer who's tattooed, I mean, like the illustrated man from Ray Bradbury's story.
Is he the one who kicked the woman?
Yes, he's the one who said the Holy Spirit led him to kick an elderly woman in the face with his biker boot during a revival because, you know, it was to help her heal or whatever. He led this Lakeland revival down in Lakeland, Florida last year, ran for a couple hundred nights in a row. He was attracting huge crowds. It was a wonderful spectacle. He claims that he was anointed by a giant angel, a gold dust sprinkling angel, which is either male or female, depending on when he tells the story. Bizarre, a lot of heresies in his theology. The Lakeland revival fell apart when it came out that he was having an affair with one of his interns, and he divorced his wife. He has now married the woman that he was having the affair with, and Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, Rick Joyner, who's intimately tied with the Dominionist movement, C. Peter Wagner, and all of those guys, has now, he was in the process now of restoring Todd Bentley. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Todd's website now, apparently he's back in business.
You know, these things are only a couple of, I don't know, they're not too far removed from the wandering bishops.
That we talked about with Peter Lavenda. Yeah, very, very occultic. I mean, apparently whatever God tells them is okay. These new revelations that they have, which don't comport with Scripture at all, you know, that is the new revelation, and that's the, you know, then that makes it okay. I'm sorry, but I'll tell you what, this is the kind of thing that makes it easy to understand why secularists think that we Christians are a bunch of dupes. If anybody believes that this guy is actually qualified to be back in the ministry again, you know, you're naive, perhaps overly forgiving. I mean, he should be forgiven if he's genuinely repentant of his sin of adultery. But the research I did on it last night, I've not seen that. If somebody knows of anywhere where Todd has actually asked for forgiveness and repented of this, then please let me know and I'll retract the statement.
Look, if he's asking for forgiveness and if he's on the right road, then he should be going to everybody that he's offended.
Yeah.
Including the woman that he kicked.
Yeah. And the other guy that he claims that he body slammed with a wrestling, you know, that just is not scriptural. It is just flat not scriptural.
That ain't right.
No. And the fact that he's coming back on the road again, is ready to begin his healing ministry again, is just, well, it's ate up.
Well, I got one more thing to add before we end this.
Close out for the week.
Thing.
All right.
Apparently in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I want to thank Lisa and Susan for sending this along. Far below the Black Hills of South Dakota, crews are building the world's deepest underground science lab. Large underground xenon lab.
Xenon, huh?
LUX.
Oh, Lux.
Yes.
As
in light.
Lux, of course, is the Latin root word for Lucifer, the light bearer.
Exactly. Lux means
how
light.
Interesting.
Yep, they're actually going after, oddly enough, dark matter. It's liquid xenon that has to be away from all, you know, interference from the sun and other light sources. So they're looking for dark matter down there. I got to tell you, it's you and I laugh about it, but these people, these scientists, are just, they're extremely curious. I understand what science
sure,
is like.
Totally.
I really do. The scientists are just down there trying to figure out the next puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
But there are spiritual aspects to this that are disturbing, especially when they pick out acronyms like LUX.
Yeah, LUX, and of course the lunar probes, L Cross and L Rho, you know, Chi Rho. Accident? Oh, sure, we totally didn't know.
Whoa, what were we thinking? Sorry, already named them that.
Yeah, we can't change the name. Too late now. Well, we'll see what happens there. Just searching for dark matter. Oh, brother.
I know. They may find it, too.
Yeah. Hmm. This weekend, A View from the Bunker.
Lava Men.
Another X-Files reference for those of you who didn't quite catch it there. This weekend, A View from the Bunker. Guest is the Jesus Geek, the original Jesus Geek, John Wilkerson. It was sort of a podcast, simul podcast. In fact, the interview will also be posted at John's website, which is jesusgeek.info. So you'll get a chance to listen to it there with his intro, and you'll get a chance to listen to it at PIDradio.com with my intro. And we talk about the God Conspiracy. We talk about his ministry, which is Podcasting for Water. Podcasting for Water. We'll tell you how you can contribute and help bring clean water to villages, poor villages in Africa that really need water even more than they need mosquito nets, frankly. So that's going to be up on the website, PIDradio.com, this weekend.
I love that. Also, at my site, SharonKGilbert.com, you'll find an article about the Ukrainian kids, the orphan Ukrainian children who are over here in the United States for a summer visit. And mm-hmm. apparently it's a program that a couple of our listeners are participating in this this summer. They've got Oksana, I think is the name of their child. Mm-hmm. And boy, read it, because it is well worth it. It may be too late to get in on it this year, but the children who are over here visiting won't necessarily be adopted. And they do need wonderful homes. So it's a great, I think a great outfit to take a look at. You can reach us, by the way, at Facebook, yep. Twitter. Mm-hmm. We're also on What's the name that?
Oh, the new it's a book sharing and reading site called Shelfari, Shelfari, Shelfari.
And we've got a PID book club there, PID yes. Radio book club.
We're slowly infiltrating every one of the social networking sites out
we're
there.
We're going to take up all of the bandwidth.
That's right. So that when we do a show, we'll crash the webs, the That's interwebs. Right. Email address is radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
We just went over the 2-minute mark, the 2-to-1 ratio.
Yes, and until Monday, have a wonderful weekend. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
This is PID Radio.